Okay, we are on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. Okay, so we had said before that if a Shchivmira had written all his possessions to his wife, right, outside of a few situations, she becomes an apotropos. So, question they ask now again, Boi Rava, Rava S, Bivari Heyach. What's the din if it's written, if the husband, when he writes this, is a bari, when he's healthy? Right? Do we say, Shriv Merah, Hudenichle, Dilishtimu Menimila? That by the Shriv Merah, that's why we say that he makes her into an apotropos, or Umdum Das. We estimate his Das. Do we say that he is, that's why he wants to make her into a apotropos, because, as Rashbam points out, he wants everyone to respect her? But if he's alive, Aval Bivari, if he's alive, Hakoiyu, he's still alive, and then Rashbam says Hakoiyu, and therefore if he's alive, they can respect him because they can respect her out of fear for him. So therefore, if he's giving her everything, he doesn't need them to respect her anymore, so he's actually giving her everything. Or do we say, no, he'd rather have them give her some more respect starting from now? What does Rashbam say? In all the cases that Shmuel talked about before, either he gives, how does he give her the present? Either he's giving her the present from today, or he gives it from today to be chal after he dies. If it's because of aim of fear, he's already alive, and therefore they're going to respect her out of fear from him. You know, someone gets married, you respect the second wife. Oftentimes, maybe, you know, family doesn't like her so much, but since my grandfather got me married, we respect her. That's out of respect for him. What do we say? No. All this, I think, this whole thing about making an apotropos, I looked in the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to me that it just seems weird. But we say you can be manchil, you can do whatever you want, you can give matanis here and there. It's only if you give everything. If you leave over a pruta to somebody else, then it's clear that you don't want to make an apotropos, you want to give her what you give. So the way out of this whole mess, if you really want to give her everything, you know, is give her the whole estate minus a couple bucks, and then you should be okay. So now we're going to try to prove whether or not it applies if the husband is a bari. So Tashma, we'll bring a raya. Hakosev, we've learned this braisa is very difficult to understand. We'll learn this according to the way Rashbam learns it. Hakosev peros nechasev liishto. Somebody writes a shtar that he's giving all the peros that grow in his field to his wife. Gove ksuvasim in a karka. The wife can still collect her ksuva from this karka. Right? Lemetza lishlish lurvi. Govek subasim and ashar. If he gives her the half the field, a third of the field, a quarter of the field, the actual field, then she can collect the ksuba from other karka, and we don't say that she was mochel on her shibud. Basically, just a little introduction. What happens is a ksuba is like a shtar chov. But husband owes the wife money. So she has a shibud on all his fields. Right? That come in, all his fields. She's a shibud. If he sells it, she can go and get it. But there's a concept of saying now also that if the husband gives the wife money or fields in her lifetime, and therefore, so she says, oh, now I have stuff now. Maybe there's an undam das that she's mochel, according to the Rashbam, mochel only on the shibud, that she will no longer be able to collect from these other nechasim, because she traded the shibud to have the rights to the field now. So this braisa says that if you just wrote to peros, or you gave her the karka, only half of it, or a quarter of it, she's not mochel on that shibud. There are those who say that when it comes to the concept of being mochel, means not only she's mochel on the shibud, she's mochel on the entire ksuba. We'll talk about that soon also. But, Bryce continues, kasav kol nechasav liishto. If he writes, all of his nechasim belong to my wife, v'yotza alav shtar chov. Okay, so now comes the problem. She has a shibud. He wrote all of the karkos go to the wife. And then a lender comes and says that I have a shibud, right? So what's the story? Rabbi Lezer Omer Tikra Matnasa V'Tamalash Ksuvasa. Rabbi Lezer says, you know what? The whole point that he gave her the matana is for her benefit. What happens here? If we say that she's mochel the shibud, so therefore what happens? She now loses the opportunity to collect from these karkos because there's a previously existing star chov on it that has a shibud. If she gives up her shibud, someone on the other street, the second lien comes over and becomes a first lien. But she gave off her lien. Rabbi Lezer says that's not the intent here. The intent here is to provide her with more field, right? So Rashbam says, look at Rashbam. Kasav kol nechasav liishto v'kasalkadai techashta afil v'makam banim. Right now we think it's even if they're sons, the Amr Shmuel el lo asa el apetropas. So you would think that it is apetropas. And hachika amr dekanya. So you see here the raya is going to be that she was kona, and even though it's if it's bevari. But what happens? V'yotza alav star kov shekadam l'matana zo. So the Shtar, her Ksuv was dated April 1, January 1. The Shtar Chov was dated February 1, and she was Mocha via this Matana on March 1. So now she can't collect from these Kakos anymore because the Baal Chov comes from February, comes in. But because she gave up her Shiva from January 1. So right, the response says, Rabbi Lezer says, Tikra Matanasa Vatamala Ksuvasa. You got to rip up her Matana. The Shtar Matan, rip up may not be literal. The Liapos Kocha Nichtav Matan Zoliskos with most of Nechasim. The Matan was given her to make her in a better position, to give her more Nechasim, to give her even stuff that's not Meshabi to her. About Hilo Machla Shiva Ksubasa, she was not Mochel her Shiva of the Ksuba. She was not mocha on these Nechasim because of the Matan. She imti bata Matan Zol b'shvio Balchov Hakodem. Basically what we say is that if the Baal Chov comes, we rip up the Matana, it's as if she still has the Shiva from beforehand. Chachamim say no. Chachamim omrim, Tikra Ksubasa, V'tamor al Matanasa, V'nimtzis Karachas Mikan Mikan. You rip up the Ksuba, and she stands on her Matana, and she's like Karachas, she's like bald, from either side. I mean, she's left unprotected. Rashbam says, what does that mean? Tikra Ksubasa, Labdafka. It doesn't mean you rip up the Ksuba. It means that from the moment that she took all the fields that existed at the time when she accepted this matana are no longer meshubad to her ksuba. Right? Rashbam says, "Lab da'afka shari ena mochalis ksuvasa b'shvil shum matana shnosim lambal." She's not mochal her entire ksuba. The e kana nechasim achrekein tigba meheng ksuvasa. If there are fields that are purchased later, fields purchased later are not part of the shibud that the Baal Chov had. Because he only has a shibud on what existed in the time of the loan. That's what he was selling mecha'an. But if he buys, remember, the Baal Chov made the February 1st. She's mocha on March 1st. According to Rashbam, according to Chachamim, if he buys more property now on April 1st, that's meshuba to the ksuba. But you don't rip up the ksuba and say, she has any entitlement to the ksuba. Miri says you do. Yad Ramah says you do.
Aval mehanu nechasim diyavila, but on these nechasim that he gave her, Rashbam continues, mochla shiva ksuvasa. She's mocha the shibud that the ksuba has. The minayu lo tigbi ksuvasa horilu matnas chimun baliyado. She can't collect from him because she got this free present. The eno no tenas aliba shema yovel balcho beit from bechovel. She doesn't have a das that someone's going to come and take the and sweep in as a first lien holder and take away her ability to collect from this karka. Hilchok tikra ksuvasa legabe hani nechasim shlo tifra man. Therefore, we ripped up the ksuba legabe these nechasim that she can't collect from these nechasim. Of course, the husband can give her the money. Point over here is the husband doesn't have the money, she's collecting the karkos. And Chachamim say now, by accepting the matana, she gave up her shibud of the ksuba, and she can't collect from these pre-existing karka. According to Rashbam, she would be able to collect from any karka bought afterwards. According to the Yad Ramah and Meiri, she gave up her shibud from the karka. Okay. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom, Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom says, who's Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom? Some say he's one of the Asura Haruge Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom. The Yalkut Shimoni, and also the Tosos and Chagiga talks about it. But he's one of the Asara Haruge Machos, Rabbi Yehuda Nachtam. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Nachtam, Maisa v'ira adover basa chosi kala. Something happened to what's happened to my niece. This whole thing, she had a ksuba. Her husband gave her a present of all the fields. She lost her shivud. Ubam Maisa lefnei chachamim v'amru tikra ksubasa v'tamal al matanasa v'nimseis karechas mikan mikan. But by accepting the matana, she now has all these fields. Now they all belong to her. She cannot, and she no longer, if the Baal Chov comes and is Torah those fields, she lost her shibud on it. The other guy steps in as a first lien, and he can grab those fields he can grab those fields, and she loses her shibud. That's like sure how it works. So the husband says, what? The husband said, January 1, they got married. She has a ksuba. Now she has a shibud in all these fields to collect a ksuba. February 1, there's a loan made, a loan with a chrayis. So he now has sort of a second lien, I guess, on all these fields. March 1,
The husband says, I'm giving you all these as a matana. Okay? So now what happens then, he defaults on the loan. Comes the Baal Chov from March, he can now grab from these fields, and she can't stop him. She can't say, oh, you know what, forget the fact that they belong to me. They meshuv it to me also for my ksuba. We say, no. By accepting the matana, the Chacham say, you got rid of the ksuba, the shiva that the ksuba has, and therefore this guy, this lender is now the first lien holder, and he can collect, he can foreclose on the property, and you can't stop him.
So why would he do it?
What?
Had she waited until he died, this would not be the
holder. Had she waited until he died,
she's the first lien holder.
She's the first lien, but she wouldn't have owned the property in the meantime. In other words, she assumes there is no other lien holder. So her benefit is she has all this property that she can make use of now.
So why would she do this? Why would anybody do this?
Well, it's not up to her. The husband makes the matana. Why would anyone do this? Because she's so mitzvahs, number one, that the husband doesn't have any lien holders. She didn't do a proper title search, I guess.
Right. Okay.
So now she owns all this property. She's 20 years old. She's hoping to live a long life. And the husband just gave her a massive property. If she doesn't accept the property, it belongs to the husband. She would be able to collect from it if the husband predeceases or they get divorced. But let's say she dies first. She would get it. She would get used to it. She gets the property right now. I think that's what's going on. Okay. But the point being, what do you mean? If she has a lien first, if it's lien to the ksuba,
he dies in May.
But what? No, the
loan is up in March. It comes in March and gets the field.
What do you mean loan is up? No, it was when the loan was taken out. The loan is taken out after the marriage. Then the loan is the second lien, and the ksuba is the first lien.
Right. So why is he coming in whenever he comes?
He's coming whenever it's due. Right. He's coming to collect. But she gave away her lien. So if she gave away her lien, he can grab the lukukos. He can grab those fields that were given to her.
The loan was given before he gave it to her as matana.
Yes.
Okay.
It's ksuba, loan, matana, collection, grab. Okay. This takes time to figure out what's going on.
Ksuba is first and then the loan?
Exactly.
It has to be, yeah. But that means it becomes the second title loan.
So by accepting the present, she...
Mm-hmm. And there's no gift. He takes the land, right? Obviously, because the husband's alive and the land is available, right?
Just, but he can't take the land away from the if he the husband died.
The husband dies in May.
The husband's still alive.
Right.
The loan is due. He comes in March and takes his land.
He takes his land.
She's the first lien, right?
You asked that yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Fine. Whatever. No. In other words, he's asking. Does the ksuba have a prior lien even if the husband's still alive? That's what he's asking.
Well, he takes.
Money.
So he takes. So what? He takes the land, and let's say then he dies, and he can't pay her. So she goes and grabs it back.
Yeah,
because she's the first lien holder. She can go and grab it back. Okay. Point being, taima the yotz alav shtar chov. The only reason why she loses the karka, according to Chachamim, is because it was a shtar chov who grabbed the karka. Halo yotz alav shtar chov. If there was no shtar chov, kanya, the woman would be koneh the nechasim. Ubamai, what are we dealing with? If we're talking about the Shchiv Mirah, Ha'amarta, we just said yesterday, Lo Asa'el Apitropos. If you give her all your, if a Shchiv Mirah gives all the property to the wife, it only makes an Apitropos. Here we say it's Kona. El Olav, what are we talking about here? Bivari. It must be talking about a Bari. And with a Bari, she's Kona all the property. So we see if a Bari gives all his Nechasim to his wife, she didn't make him an Apitropos. Ella, he's Kona to her the property of the Gamrei. And, so whatever Shmuel said that he made an Apitropos, that's only in the Shchiv Mirah. That's a Raya. So Gemara says, no, not a raya. We'll be docha the raya. Ve'olam b'shchiv mirah. No, we're dealing with a shchiv mirah. Aye, but then we say shchiv mirah when you give all the property, it makes an apitropos. No, we had some exceptions at the end of yesterday's daf. The Rav Avira moke libakulu. Rav Avira is going to establish the case as to all the cases that he said yesterday. Right? Avira said that the custom the chas of the ishto the yarshim of the brothers makes her. All of them except for the Isha Itzel Achim. What were the cases yesterday? There were a couple of Yiboyeluhus. Bas Itzel Abanim, Isha Itzel Achim, Isha Itzel Bnei Habal. Those were the three cases. So Ravir and Mok, he says it's no, the ones that he has over there that says that she's not Apotropos.
And Ravina Mokel be Ishto Arusa be Ishto Gerusa. Ravina would say, no, it's the Ishto who's an Arusa, or Ishto who's a Gerusha. It's very hard because that's not what Brisa says. But he says it's a Gerusha or an Arusa. In those cases, we said on yesterday's daf that it's a complete kinyan and it's not for an apitropos. So now we have no raya whether or not we're dealing with a bari or not. So what's the halacha l'maisa? So the riff and say that misafik we have to make her an apitropos, right? Because she, we say motzi mechaber l'varaya, and she's being motzi really the yorshim, I guess we consider the muksak because it should go to them. So she's being motzi from them. Motzi mechaber of raya, and therefore she would have to bring a raya that she was actually konit, and therefore it's she's an apitropos, and that's how the Rambam paskins the Hilchos Achiyah Perek Vav Halacha Dalid, and so too does the Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer, sorry, Simin Kuf Zayin Siv Ala. But the Ritva says no, since she has in her hands a shtar matana, she's now the muchzak, and now it's on everyone else to prove that she didn't really get a matana. So therefore, according to the Ritva, the Yorshim are the motzi, and until they prove that's not a real matana, she has the upper hand. Now those who say that because of the even if you pass it to Shulchan Aruch, I think the Miri says even if you pass it to Shulchan Aruch, it's still a case of suffix. So if she grabs it right, then you don't be motzi. She becomes the muchzak, the tuck for Kohen. So yeah, okay. So you have no raya. Amar Rav Yosi bar Menume, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Yosi says the name of Rav Nachman. Halacha tikra k'suvasa v'tamel amatanasa v'nimtzis karachas mikana mekana. He passes like the Chachamim that in this situation that we just said before, that she loses her lien because the matana takes over completely and envelops and takes over the lien. She loses the lien and she cannot collect from those pre-existing fields according to Rashbam. Again, machlokas Rashbam Meiri, whether or not she would have a lien on any fields that are purchased thereafter. Right, well, she's mochel the shibud of the ksuba. She's mochel the shibud of the ksuba. But there are a few reasons they say. Number one, maybe she's so mechdas that her husband's going to buy more fields. Number two, maybe he'll pay her. Maybe he'll give her the money. Right. Number three, she now gets the benefit of this massive piece of property that she can use that belongs to her now. My question is though: always say that kol masha kansa yisha kasha kansa baila. So what's the whole purpose of this matana? Doesn't it just still belong to the husband? I don't know. And all this stuff also, the whole thing here, and Mars is going to talk about it in a minute, this whole thing, so she's mochel, she's not, did she say she was mochel? Dvarim she believe in a dvarim. How did the mechila work? The Gemara says, l'meimra, this comes, Rav Nachman paskin, that we rip up the ksuba, l'meimra delo azu Rav Nachman basar umdana. It must be then that Rav Nachman doesn't go basar and umdana. He's not umdum das. Because if you look at it from Misvara, you'd say, the woman, like you said before, why would the woman want to be mochel of her shiva? The woman says, you know what, I want the matana, but the matana hurts me, and I don't want it. Right? So why would it be umdum das? I don't know. The Chana asked, what do you mean? He holds like a different umdum das. He holds like a woman's mochel. Doesn't understand the Gemara at all. Oh, he must not hold of umdum das. The whole thing here is umdum das. What's the woman thinking? So Rav Nachman says he holds the umdas the other way. Doesn't understand the question. You hear that question? What's going on here? Remember, Lameimer the Rav Lo Azu of Nachman Basar umdum das. But Tanya, that can't be the case. So we bring a Brisa where he does hold of umdum das. Harei shehalach benolam midasayam. Someone's son goes on a trip. Vishama, and the father hears shemis bino, that his son died. And we're assuming now that this is his only son, right? But ama v'kasav kol nechasav la'achirim. And so his son dies. He doesn't want. He writes a will that all my property are going to go to somebody else. Va'achar kach b'avino. And then all of a sudden, the son shows up, right? Matnasto matana. Tanakama says no, it's still a matana because he didn't say v'shas of the nesinas matana that it's only contingent on. I only gave him this because my son's no longer here. But Rav Shimon ben Asi Omer, a matanasu matana. It's not a good matana anymore. She'ila hayodei shibin okayim. Had he known that someone's alive, he would not look sovereign. He would never have given this matana. It's an umdum das. V'amar Rav Nachman halach Rav Shimon ben Menasya. And Rav Nachman comes in and says, halach is like Rav Shimon ben Menasya. He is umay das. So you see from here that even Rav Nachman holds that you go after umdum das, even if it's not clear. So we say that since we can be umay his das to do this, that either if his son was alive, he wouldn't have given the matana, so it's as if he was mefarishit befarish, and he made a t'nai here. And therefore the matana is batel when it becomes clear that the son is still alive. So therefore, it's a kasher on Rav Nachman how he holds a chachamim who aren't going according to Umdum Das. And again, Rav Chanan asks, what do you mean he's not going according to Umdum Das? They're going to Umdum Das that the woman accepts the matana and therefore is mochel on the ksuba because she'd rather have the land. I possibly don't understand what the Gemara is saying. So Gemara answers Shani Hasam. It's different there in our case. The nichal law, the sepuk Allah kala the ksivinu gnilhan lehan nechasim. She'd rather have the nechasim. Umdum Das. Yeah, but it's nas. The whole shayla doesn't make sense. And then also, the Gemara, we said just before.
What if
she would have known that there's only. Right. So we're undundas. We're undundas that she'd rather have all the property now, even if there was a lien. The whole thing is undundas. Nothing's clear here. Nothing's befavorish. So all the Rishonim ask, they ask here that, what do you mean that if the son dies, if the son shows up, he gets the matanah's bottle. Because umdun das. Dvarim shebelev, ino dvarim. Pasha. Dvarim shebelev, ino dvarim. You have to say things out loud. So, it brings down that there's a concept, dvarim shebelev, ino dvarim, but, based on a Tosfos and Ksubas, which I think we did a few times, the Rabbi Razel, there are like four exceptions of dvarim shebelev, ino dvarim. He says, if it's dvarim belibo, ubedelev kol adam, then it's considered dvarim. If it's pasha, that this is the way people think. So when a guy has only one son, and he must love his son, and his son's going to be Yorishim, and then Nebuchadnezzar finds out that his son passed away, and out of grief, he just, I don't have anything now, I might as well just give it to somebody else. It's Dvar Shabbalev Kolodim, if his son shows up, he's not going to want that. So there are shilas that come up, let's say someone owes you like a quarter, and you don't ask for the money back for years. You never ask for it. And then 10 years later, you say, you owe me a quarter. You say he was Mochel, because if he was Mochel, then if the borrower gives the money, it's Kaneva, it's Zela. What do you say? We never said it outside. Never said it out loud. After 10 years, maybe undum nas that according to everybody, that yemochel on the quarter. Shiloh that they bring up. Ksos brings down the possible machlokas between himself and the marashal. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to bring another case regarding the hefsed of ksuba when she accepts karka from her husband. Tanan Hassam, I'm learning a Mishnah in Peah. Hakosim nechasim levanav. Someone writes that he's giving all his nechasim to his son. Because of it, in the same star, liishto karka kolshu. In the same star, he writes that this strip of land belongs to my wife. She is getting with the son's karka, as I guess as a matana. Ibdo ksubasa. She now lost her ksuba, meaning she cannot collect the ksuba from the money, from the fields that were given, from the nechasim that were given to the sons. That's what the Mishnah says. Gemara asks, wait a second. Mishum the kasav lakarka kolshu ibdo ksubasa. He gave her a futa's worth of land. Now she loses the right to accept to collect her ksuba from all the other property that was given to the sons. It's estate taxes. You want to get out of the estate taxes. You go to attorney. Write all of it to your sons. Your wife can't collect. What do you mean? Just give her a little bit. How does that work? So the Gemara is now going to give three answers as to why it works. Then they're going to bring the safe of the Mishnah and say that those three answers don't work because it's against the safe of the Mishnah. So my shaila then comes up again. They didn't know the Mishnah. You're telling me they didn't know all the brisos. This is a Mishnah. So Amar Rav. Rav says, what?
Alright.
Wait a minute. Let me get to the safe. Let me get to the safe. Awesome. So this is the first part of Shir. They fell asleep. They didn't hear it. And then the next day they got hacking. Okay. Could be. So Amar, it makes sense. Amar Rav.
The ksuba's worth $40,000. The husband gives her a gift of $20.
She's forfeiting the right, again, according to the Rashbam, she's forfeiting the right to collect the ksuba if he doesn't pay from these karkos. He still owes her the ksuba. It's just that she's losing the lien. She's losing what the lien provides her. Right. She becomes, instead of she becomes an unsecured creditor instead of a secured creditor. That's all.
So why is this different than if he gives her a
necklace? Let's read that. Gemara asks, Mishum the karkos in the ksuvasa, because she wrote this one piece of property, she loses the ksuba. So Amar Rav, Rav says, what's the case? It's a kinyan sudur, and they use her handkerchief. So therefore, since we see that the husband says, I want to make this, tells his wife, sweetie, I want to make this kinyan to my sons, so they get the karka, you get a little bit also. She goes, use my handkerchief. So she's participating in it, so she's mocheles on her shibud. Shmuel Amar, the Mechalek Lepanev, Hishol Sekes. Talking about a case where she's there, and he goes, parcel A to Ruhe. Parcel B to Shimon. Sweetie, you see what I'm doing? Parcel A. And she doesn't say anything. So she could go, she doesn't say anything. Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina Amar, the Omer Law, Kli karka zobek subaseich. Where he says beferish at the time, he's, sweetie, no, I'm giving them all out. I'll give you this piece of land. You know, this is going to be for your ksuba. And she says the same thing. So he's clear, he's meferish, that she wasn't me'areres, that had this happened, she's mochel on her shibud. That's what the umdum nas that these three amorayim say is the umdum nas. Right? And the Gemara says, umiklule ksuba shanukan. And these are all the kulos that apply by ksuba, as opposed to a regular balchov. For the most part, a ksuba and a balcho and a loan document are the same thing. At a certain point in time, you owe me money. But we have certain kulos when it comes to a ksuba. Number one, she only collects from Ziboris. She doesn't collect from the Yiddis. Balcho collects from the Yiddis. Right? So this is another one of the kulos that, cause let's say it was a balchov here. If there was a balchov and all this happened, and the balchov says, the borrower says to the balchov, I'm giving this all these fields to my son. Let me use your handkerchief for the king of Suda. He says, yeah, fine. Now mochlu shibud. By ksuba we do. Why? Because they say the concept of talamate, talamendalu applies here. She'd rather be married in any way, shape, or form. And here she wants to satisfy her husband. She doesn't want to get the husband upset. So she's going to, whether that applies or not, again, is a big discussion. So nevertheless, you see from here that she's mochel her ksuba in these situations. She's mochel the shibud, the lien rights that the ksuba provides her. That's how we're learning the lien rights that the ksuba provides her if this takes place. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Tanan, look at the seifa of that Mishnah. Right, part two is here. Look at the seifa of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yose Omer, Rabbi Yose says, in kibla alea, apa gad lo kasev lo, ibda ksubasa. Rabbi Yose says, nah. She has to be mocheles beferish. She has to say I'm mocheles, even if he doesn't write for her anything. She has to be mocheles. She has to be clear mechila. So mechlal the Tanakama saber ksiva v'chabalabai. Mashman the Tanakama. If Rabbi Yoshi says she only has to be mechabalas. She only has to say that she's mocheles. Masmi's arguing the Tanakama holds that she has to be mocheles, and he has to write it. So that's the reason why she's mocheles, according to the Tanakama. Why don't you give me these three answers, right? In order for her to be mocheles, she's not mocheles unless he writes the karka to her, and she says refers that she's mocheles. Without that, there's no mechila. Then Rabbi Yossi comes and says, now it's enough by her amira, even if he doesn't give her anything. But now this is a kasha on these three Amoroyim, right? Because they said, we asked why she's ma'abet, why she loses the lien of the ksuba just by ksiba, and they gave all those answers. Well, they should have simply said, because she accepted it, because she said it. Because she said a mocheles. That's what the Mishnah talks about. So Gemara says, ah, b'chitim, and maybe you'll say, kula Rabbi Yosihi. Maybe you'll say the entire Mishnah is going according to the shita of the Rabbi Yosi. So how does that work? The Reisha says, if it's a ksiva, and Rabbi Yossi says, you know what, even if it's only a mechil, even if she only says it, one or the other, you only need one. So the Reisha talked, so it's cool Rabbi Yossi, he doesn't mention Tanakam, there's no one who holds that you need a ksiva and a mechila. So therefore, how would that work? So if mechila would work, then our Moram said, well, where was the mechila here? And they go into their three answers. But that doesn't work, because it can't be. The entire Mishnah is not Rabbi Yossi. But Tanya, we have a Brisa that comes to explain this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when does the Mishnah say that if he writes for her, Karka Kolshehu, she's Me'abedas her Ksuba, that's only Shehoysha Shom V'Kibla Aleh, if she was there and she accepted it. Right? Abal Haysha Shom, if she was there when it was written, V'Lo Kibla Aleh, this is the Tanakama, and she did not accept it, or Kibla Aleh, or she accepts it, V'Lo Haysha Shom, but she's not there when it was written, Lo Ibda Ksubasa, she's not Me'abedas her Ksuba. The first case was what? Where she was there, but she was shoteka, she was quiet. What? But the Tanakhama says it doesn't work.
Right.
Tanakhama says it simply doesn't work. So you see, the Bryce is clear that we can't say the Mishnah is like completely Rabbi Yossi, because it's clear that according to the Tanakhama, you need ksiba and express Kabbalah. And that's not like Rabbi Yossi. And that's so sort of all these other Moroim, who they were mefarish to the Mishnah, they were mefarish to the Das of the Tanakhama. They were mefarish the Mishnah that she was ma'abedes her ksuba from all these umdanos that we talked about. Well, it's clear that the Tanakhama says she only loses her ksuba if she accepts the beferish. So why don't you explain Rabbi Yossi? They explain the second part. So Gemara says, Tiyupta, the Kulu Tiyupta. It's a Tiyupta on all them, because their explanation cannot work with the ratio of the Mishnah. The ratio of the Mishnah is clear that she has to, there's no Undanah, she has to accept it. And they gave all these Undanos. So Amalei Rabba Rav Nachman. Rabba says to Rav Nachman, Hi Rav, Hi Shmuel, Hi Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. We know the Shita of Rav, we know the Shita of Shmuel, we heard the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. What about you? Mar my Sirle. What do you hold with this, in this situation? So Amalei, Shani Omer, I say, I thought, oh, Rebbe was the one who always said Ani Omer, right? Omer Ani, oh, okay. So Ani Omer, Kevon Sha'asa Shuta Ben Habanim, Ibdak Suvasa. Once he includes her in the distribution of with the brothers, with those brothers, so now she's a shutav, she's like a partner with them, and she accepts that, she loses the ksuba because of the chashivus that she's now considered equal with the brothers. I was machalik to karka, and you're included in that chaluka. You're like them. So with that, she accepts it, and she's mochalas the lien right that her ksuba had provided for her. Itmar nami, so too we have a brisa that says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Kevon Sha'asa, Shuta, Bein Abanim, Idda Ksubasa. Once she becomes a Shuta, she loses her Ksuba. So the Rashbam has to figure out, who's Rav Nachman going like? So, he's certainly not going according to the Das of Tanakama. Because the Tanakama said, that you need Ksiba and Kabbalah. So he must be going according to Rav Yosef, that's enough for Kabbalah Levad. And that's, it's enough for Kabbalah. It's also enough, he says, if Kabbalah is enough, Rashbam says, then Ksiva is also enough. You don't need one or the other. Here he wrote it in the Shtar. I'm giving it to all of them. Right? So therefore, this Ksiva works according to Rabbi Yossi. And now the question comes up, well, how does the Ksiva work, Ksiva alone work? And they have all these other undum das that came up. And Rav Nachman says, according to Rashbam, Rav Nachman is quoting like Shmuel, who's Rav Nachman's Revi, who says that we're talking about a case where she's quiet, and he says, "Oh, just she's quiet. Why is she mochelos? She's quiet because she became a shutav. If she becomes a shutav, she's mochelos. That's the undum das. Okay. Boi Rava. Rava says, "Bivari heyach. All this we're assuming took place. I didn't say. Well, we're assuming took place with the shchiv mira. What about if he's a bari? He gives that she also is she also ma'abed that's her lien right." What's the difference between a bari and a shchivmira here? By the shchivmira, she knows that he's on his deathbed. He's not going to buy any more property. He's not going to amass any more nechassim. Therefore, if she accepts this, she's giving up her lien. But maybe with a bari, she says, you know what? He's going to get more. He's going to get more nechassim. I still have a lien. See, I'm fine. Maybe she's not really accepting it.
Makes absolutely no sense. Why would anybody in the right mind, if somebody's on the deathbed,
because she's definitely getting, she gets it now. She becomes a shutup. Yeah, she has all these umdanos. She has all the umdanos. She doesn't think this will be a balchov. She wants to be a shutup with the brothers.
It's coming to her anyway now.
Sorry.
It's coming to her anyway now.
Not everything's coming to her. She has a lien for the value of her ksuba.
We're assuming that the property is substantially more than the ksuba.
I guess that's what she's thinking. Maybe he'll pay me. I'm going to get the money, and now I have property plus the money.
So, boy, Rav, bevari heyach. Me, I'm reading. Do we say b'shchiv mira who the yada the less lay? She knows that there's no further property coming in. Therefore, kamachla. Therefore, when she has shtika, that's definitely a mechila. Aval bebari, but with a bari, svara hadakani. She thinks that in the future he's going to get more nechassim, and she'll get her ksuba there. So why should I make him angry now and make him acha? So therefore, she's not mochel. She's not mocheles. Oh, Dilma Hashemias Leslie. Or do we say, you know, listen, right now, there are no other properties. She accepts it. She's mochelis. The other side said that, you know, since, that's what the other side says, that since she thinks that there was going to be more property later, she's not mochelis in the property till now. She's just doing it to make this daito shalvala bias. That seems to be the case. Look at Rashbam. Rashbam says, Bari Heyach. And me amrina b'shchiv meira hu de'avda shibud k'subasa sh'anachasim halalu she lost the shibud the hayada she knows the less lay nachasim yoser the gam lo yellow od hashare yomis he's not going to have any more property the hilchach habe
that's why since to answer your question I'm saying that's why she should have been the areres because she's not going to get any more property she should have said something the fact that she didn't say anything so she accepts it. But here's the reason to say something. But in the next case, when it's a bari, Maybe you say, why should she say anything? There's going to be more property. I'm not going to say anything. I won't bother him. I won't say. So she's not really mochelas. What's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara answers a teku. You don't know what it applies to. So again, there's a machlokas and how you pass him with the teku. According to the Rashbam, on tomorrow's daf, he says, motzi mechaveira l'varaya, and the woman is now going to be motzi yuksuba from the Baal, so she's the motzi mechaveira, she's the motzi, therefore she can't collect. She has to prove that she has the shibud. But the Rip says, no, if it's a suffix, we keep the ksuba as the muksa. The ksuba is b'cheskasa, right? And therefore the Baal, or the son, the Yorshim, had to bring a raya that she was mochelas. The Mir brings a three sheet to that. It's one of multiple suffix in Yecholkin. Okay.
Why are we saying that she knows that it's implicit in his gift that she's giving up her lien on the ksuba? Maybe she doesn't realize it.
Well, that's what we just spent the whole of the past 15 minutes discussing. That we're undan das. That's what we just... That's what we just spent the whole day trying to discuss. We're explaining why she's mochelas. That was the Gemara's question. Just because she accepted the property, she's mochelas. She gave the sudur. She explicitly said it. She was so tekes. She guys the tli gabegita. Take this is for you. She says this is for yksuba. She says, oh, now I'm shut up with the brothers. That's the undam das. That's what the chamim are assuming. Okay, so that's finished up over here. 2 minutes. Ahuda Amar Lahu, a person says, who's a Shrimira, Pagal of Ras, half of the goes to one daughter. Pagal of Ras, another half of my property goes to another daughter. The Tilsa Li'itos Peri, and a third of the Peros go to my wife. Shimochelos the Ksuba here. So Ikla Rav Nachman Lasura, Ula Gabi Rav Chizra. Rav Chizra comes in, the Amar Le, and he says, Rav Chizra says to Rav Nachman, Kiya Gavna Mai, what's the story here? So Amar Le, so Rav Nachman says, Rav Chizra, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Afilo Lo Hikna Lo, Ela Dekel Echel Leperosa, Ibuk Subasa. Surprised she's got one iota of property, she's Mochelos to Shibud on the Ksuba. Therefore, if she doesn't get the Ksuba from the estate, she cannot collect it from the property that was now transferred to the daughters. So Amar Le, so Rav Chizra says to Rav Nachman, Amar Amar Shmuel Hasa, that makes sense, Shmuel said over there, the Akhle Gupu the Ara, where she actually gets real estate. Hacha Peruhu, but here she just gave him a Tatlin. Just gave him a third of the Peros that grow. So Rav Nachman says back, oh, I'm sorry. Amale, Metalti Karmarta, you said that she only gets Metaltlin. Metaltli Vadi Lo Kamina. If she's only getting Metaltlin, there's no Umdum Das that she's going to be Mochelos to Shibud. He misinterpreted when it said, Utilsa the Isis Peperi, he thought it meant she's getting a third of the Karka. And therefore getting the Peros from them. I think that's what it means. But if you're saying that she's only really getting Metaltlin, then that's not enough. She's not going to be mochelas the shibud of the ksuba based on just getting metalton. Therefore, in this case, you can assume that she did not lose the lien that the ksuba provided. Correct. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah. Even if it's a cultural cash, she's mochelas again. She's mochelas the security. She now becomes an unsecured creditor. I think that's how you learn it. Okay, I want to do a little further, but. We'll stop here.